Welcome back. You're listening to Eye on the Outdoors award-winning radio show on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Now, here's your host, Ray I.
Welcome back. Thanks for riding through the break. Yeah, this is your host, Ray I, your handsome but yet humble host, here with Matty G and the Peanut on a beautiful Saturday morning. We're having a great time. This next segment is a tribute to my great friend and turkey hunting brother, Spence Turner, and it's a great interview. He is the reason, Spence Turner is the reason you all enjoy the trout fishing and the trout that you have today.
And we've got a great, great individual on this morning. All you guys that enjoy going down to the Ozarks and catching those trout probably don't realize what went on in the research and the development and the work in that area for years for you to be able to do that. On the line with us this morning, we've got a fisheries research biologist that went to work back then in like 1969, 28 years on the ground working with the fisheries, 32 for retirement purposes. He even told me his kids used to call him the fish squeezer, I guess, instead of a fish biologist. And we're going to talk to Mr. Spence Turner, one of my turkey hunting brothers. And we've shared a lot of camps together, and we're going to talk about some fishes this morning. This is going to be a great interview, and I can't wait to talk to my good friend, Spence Turner. Hey, Spence, good morning.
How you doing, Uncle Ray?
Great, my friend. I'm glad you could join us this morning.
It's been a fun ride over the years, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my association with you and Vogler Vogler and the other characters that you associate with, and I use the term with a great deal of affection.
Yeah, okay, but you kind of threw me and probably my listeners by saying something good about the Vogler Vogler.
Well, come on now. two gimps out of, what, six? I mean, that's a pretty good ratio.
Yeah, that's true. So, Spence, as a fisheries research biologist, you guys had to really work hard in the Ozarks in the day to work with the trout and bring the trout up to where people could fish. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that in the beginning?
Well, let me talk a little bit about the history and then jump into a change in culture. When I was hired as the first trout biologist in 69, we had four trout parks and a few areas that were stocked regularly in Lake Tanecumseh, and that was it. All the administrators and I say the few biologists at the time, that was all the interest they had. They weren't interested in what went on before or what the other potential was. And getting started, of course, you look to see what's there, and then you wonder, could we have something better? I came out of a culture where wild trout fishing was supreme, still is in my opinion. Started looking around the Ozarks to see just what we had. Hell, they didn't know anything beyond about 1967 regarding trout in the state of Missouri. And I stumbled around, but I found out that the state received its first salmonid. They weren't trout, they were salmon, in 1878. And then 2 years later, in 1880, Fisheries Division, the fisheries group in the state, received rainbow trout from the McLeod River in central California, near Sacramento, north of Sacramento. Those fish, even though the first fish were stocked to have a run to the Gulf of Mexico, where these guys were thinking, didn't work too well. Anyway, they went to our first hog hatchery over at St. Joe, and when they hatched, the eggs were delivered by train between St. Louis and Springfield, and then places west of Springfield, which included Crane, included Spring River, and included some other streams. Lo and behold, in 1882, rainbows were documented as spawning in the state of Missouri for the first time ever in Crane Creek, which runs right through Crane, Missouri. A side story on Crane, mid-70s, I was sitting in my office and a guy come in there, asked me if I knew of a spring branch with wild trout in it. Railroad ran through it. Was private. But where it was, his granddad had taken him trout fishing on a regular basis. And they'd stop. He and his granddad would jump off the train, and they'd fish for however long it took the train to make his total turnaround. Come back, they'd stop, pick him up, and take him home again over to St. Joe. Okay. The bottom line is, he hadn't hit the door before I was looking at some old railroad maps trying to figure out where the hell he was talking about, and quite honestly, I didn't. But shortly thereafter, I received a call from Chief of Fisheries, Chuck Perkett, saying, I've got a place I need you to take a crew down and sample. They wanted to donate to the department. It was just west of Crane, Missouri. Went down there, and lo and behold, it was a upper end of Crane Creek. Railroad ran right along the edge of the valley. Oh, the other thing is, the creek went underground on the property.
Wow.
found exactly what this man was talking about.
Yeah.
Went down, and boy, we found some really super trout. In fact, I remember taking 2 over 7 pounds out of there. And that became ultimately became the first wild trout area in the state of Missouri, Crane Creek. Catch and release, and it remains today the same way. It traces its ancestry clear back to 1878, 1880, and that era. And it's great. I mean, it sparked my interest more, and I started digging deeper and started tracing the history of the stocking and some of these things. Most of the people in the department at that time had no idea, none whatsoever. It opened my eyes, and I started looking closer, and I found remnant populations and numerous spring branches scattered around the Ozarks, in addition to Grain Creek. Today, many of those have become blue ribbon trout areas. I call them wild trout areas, and they didn't like my terminology, so after I left, they changed it.
Okay. You talked about the culture. Tell us about that.
When I joined the department, the culture was pretty much set in put-and-take fishing at the four trout parks or at a few streams associated with those parks, like the Upper Current River. The lobby in the department from outside was the Missouri Trout Fishing Association had chapters in each of the parks, and they'd meet once a year and argue about how the definition of fly was and where they could fish fly fish and couldn't fly fish and how they could fly fish and where they planted trees and where they didn't plant trees, all of which is pretty well meaningless as far as I was concerned. But anyway, and that was it. And, of course, Chief of Fisheries attended all those meetings, and he was a big man at that time. And when I started locating the son of the real jewel we had in the Ozarks, started having a few obstacles placed in my way. You know, you almost have to build a clientele, get people interested in what you have. And at that time, there was a group in St. Louis, the Ozark Fly Fishers.
Yeah.
Still there, still very active, that was willing to look at some of these other fisheries that we had and kind of carried the outside lobby ball, and it took a while, but eventually we started seeing some change in culture, change in attitude, and as fishermen started to realize there was a hell of a fishery out there if they wanted to take part in it, just as bad of getting the information out.
Great history, great information. I can't help but think a lot of our today's fishermen have no idea, don't even realize the history in our state with the fish.
I suspect that's true. Occasionally you see some reference to it, somebody writes about it, and they'll call me or read something on the internet and follow it up. It's there. It's not as if it's being hit anymore. When I started, there wasn't any history on it. People didn't know anything about Missouri trout fishing other than four trout parks and what was happening in about mid-1960. In fact, brown trout were stocked the first time in, I think, 67, 68, 2 years. They were stocked in about three locations. They knew nothing about them. They didn't know what happened to them. One of my first official assignments was to find out what happened to the brown trout. Did we still have them? Were they going to reproduce? What was going on? It took a matter of several years before I finally worked the puzzle out on the brown trout. Unlike rainbows, they cannot spawn successfully in Missouri. They go through the process. They build their reds and they he and she, but the eggs die in the gravel at about day 12, day 13. And I suspect it's the water temperature's too warm. Our spring water comes out at about 59 degrees, 58 degrees. Brown trout, green brown trout eggs before they eye up die somewhere around 10 to 12 days into incubation. Once they eye up, they're strong, but prior to that, they die. They simply were not able to survive the thing. So we're going to have to play father trout every year and stock browns in the several brown trout areas that we have. Once they're established, they do really well in some of our fisheries.
This is great information. You know, all the campfires we shared, I didn't get this much information out of you about these fishes. Maybe we were talking about turkeys instead of fish at the time. Spence, this is great information, and I know our peoples really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show with us. And what I like to say about you, my friend, is that we got these guys out here in the turkey world to talk about John Lewis and what he did for turkeys. Well, they need to be talking about Spence Turner and what he did for the fishies. Awesome.
A few of them. You know, I look back and say I accomplished something. I don't think there are many fishery biologists today that can say that.
No, it's so true, so true.
Same was true of John Lewis.
Well, I sure appreciate what you guys have done. Not only did we got the fishies, but with John, all the work the department did with the turkeys, what has developed with that with me in my lifetime of, you know, a three-day season up to what we have today and what I'm doing for a living in turkey hunting wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for people like you and John Lewis.
I wish I could say I was as good as John Lewis. I'm not, but...
Well, I say you are.
It's a different approach, a different... resource to work with, but it's there, and it'll be there for my kids and my grandkids and all the other anglers that like to trout fish. And there's a bunch of them now that are growing up and realizing there's more to trout fishing than just going to the trout park. Trout parks are fun. Hell, they're, I go there occasionally. Where can you catch that many fish? Even the trout parks have changed tremendously from, you know, fishery from March 1 until October 31st. Now we've got year-round fishing. We've got catch-and-release season, which was something that I started on Bennett Springs and finally got it to spread to the other parks.
Yeah.
Hatchery people didn't like me for quite a while. they had to work for 3 more months or 4 more months, whatever it is.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. All right, Spence, we're going to let you go. Appreciate it, my friend, and looking forward to sharing another campfire with Kay.
Okay, sounds like a plan, John.
Thank you, Mr. Fishies Biologist. You have a great weekend.
Fish squeezer. Take care, friend.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. What a great interview. My good buddy and turkey hunting brother, Spence Turner. I almost feel guilty for telling him we had to let him go. I believe we could have went another 10 minutes. Great information. What a great man. What great history in Missouri. For all you fishermen out there that like to fish trout, this is really an unbelievable story. The history of the Ozark fisheries and trout. With our blood brother, Spence Turner. Hey, with that, we need to take a break. We need to get out of here. We've kind of overstayed our welcome here in this segment. So we're going to go to the other side. And we'll see you there.